All right, take your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 13. On the display table out there is a CD. This is one of our singing groups called Abundant Life, and these are all young soul winners, Bible college students. About twice a month, we will preach crusades in other countries around us, and this is a group that travels with me. And everything that comes in, it's just for an offering. You grab a CD, throw an offering in there, and everything that comes in goes to pay for their plane tickets to go to other countries. It's great people to invest in. And you get a CD as a bonus as well. But if you could help me out, I don't want to take any of them home. So you can take one home with you. That would be a blessing and a blessing to them as well. Matthew chapter 13. I'm going to try and move quickly if that's possible. I was born in Colorado when I was 7 months old, moved to Alaska. My father's been a missionary for 50 years. Just a great example of faithfulness to me and my family. There was five boys. And three girls. Every morning as a family, we'd read the Bible. Every night as a family, we'd read the Bible. By the time I was 12, as a family, we'd read through the Bible over 7 times. Now they've read through the Bible over 35 times as a family. And we were raised by godly people. I'm telling you, I can remember missing church twice in my life. It seemed like every time the church door was open, I was probably the one holding it. We were involved in ministry. We'd pass down tracts, bring people to church. We'd preach on the streets. We would preach in church. We'd even try and sing in church sometimes. But when I sang, they flew heaven's flag at half staff, and angels did weep, and all that kind of stuff. And going to church all my life, I'll tell you, as a young person, my favorite part of church was amen at the end. I'd come to church and I'd watch the ceiling fans turn. I'd count the tiles on the floor. I'd look at people's bad hair, and I couldn't wait to get out. You say, why? Because I was a professional Christian. I was a Hollywood Baptist. I knew how to act and pretend and posture and pose, but inside I was empty. I was a professional at convincing people I was something I was not. And I was very ambitious as a young person. I wanted to do something great with my life. And I said, I'm going to go off to university. I planned out where I was going. I was going to become a lawyer and go into politics. And me and Biden, well, I was going to provide the brains for the man. But anyway, we were going to work together as a team. God's got such a sense of humor, doesn't he? I am telling you what. And I'll never forget, it was a Wednesday night just like this. I was sitting over on this side. It was October of 1989, and the Holy Spirit of God knocked on my heart. I heard many messages preached, and I remember I would hear a good message preached. I'd walk down the aisle, and I'd pray this prayer at the altar. Dear God, if I'm not saved, would you save me today? But see, there's no such thing as a hypothetical salvation. You don't get saved by accident. And that was the first time I got lost. And I'll tell you what. For 2 weeks, every time I laid my head in my pillow at night, turning on the rotisserie of my mind was this reminder, you're lost, you're lost, you're lost. November 5th, I got saved. When I got saved, I'm just telling you, God changed my life. And I said, God, I'll do something great for you. And he laughed. Because God doesn't need your ambition. He wants your submission. And I graduated from Bible college when I was 20. I was a youth pastor for 5 years, and I've been in counseling for that. And I'm making progress. It's baby steps, but I'm recovering. Teenagers are such a unique species. But, you know, God's let us be in Trinidad for 20 years, and it's been a blessing. The Bible tells us in the book of Matthew, if you found it and you're able to stand to your feet, would you read a verse with me? Matthew chapter 13. Now, over and over, he's gone through explaining, talking about the kingdom of heaven, the mysteries explained here. And I'm not going to try and go into the context, so we're going to grab a verse and we're going to run right into the message. If you would try and stay with me, it would help me. It says here in verse number 44, again, Jesus is reiterating a truth that he's already conveyed. He said, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Imagine, if you would, a man walking to a distant city, and he takes a short cut across the field, and as he's walking across that field, suddenly he stubs his foot, and he looks down and he sees a treasure there. All you treasure hunters know what I'm thinking about. And he covers the treasure up, it says he hideth it. And then he goes in the closest town and he inquires and he says, who owns this field? He finds out and he goes and sees that individual and he says, how much for the field? The man gives him the price. And he says, this is what I'll do. I got to sell everything to get this field. Why does he want the field? Because there's a treasure in it. I want to speak on this thought for a few minutes tonight. Go buy a field. Father, we come to you in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Dear God, we know it's that name which is above every name. We know at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that you're the one true God in this world today. Father, I pray that you take control of this service. Dear God, I don't know the people in this room. I don't know their strengths or weaknesses. I don't know their victories or defeats. I pray, Holy Spirit, you custom fit the message to the need of our life tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Three things I want you to notice quickly. First of all, you notice this man who was after this treasure in buying this field, number one, he sold everything to get this. Can I ask you a question, sir? What would you sell everything you own to buy? Ma'am, would you be willing to give up everything to get something else? And if so, what would that be? You ever thought about if I had to sell everything in my life to get something, what would it be? Now, not only did he, number one, sell everything, but look it. He sold everything and he did it with joy. It wasn't the IRS coming after him. I have seen people sell their land, their properties, empty out their bank accounts because their family members have been kidnapped by pirates from Venezuela and other countries, and they wanted to save someone. This man was selling all with a smile on his face. Why are you selling your house? You don't understand. I'm after the treasure. Why are you selling your investments? You don't understand. I'm after the treasure. And he was doing it with anticipation and joy. I want you to notice number three, he was surrendering a lesser treasure to get a greater treasure. What treasure was he after? He was seeing the value as Jesus is preaching here. And by the way, I'm just going to plagiarize if you don't mind. I'm stealing a message that Jesus preached. Please don't get upset. You say, well, I'd never steal someone's message. You're going to be without a message then. Because everybody steals. I was teaching homiletics one time, and I said, you know, my homiletics teacher used to say in Bible college, his name was Doug Sisson, he used to say, fellas, be nice to everybody, because everybody is having a hard time. And I sit in class, and he was teaching, and he said, Dr. Vineyard said, be nice to everybody, because everybody's having a hard time. I was traveling with Brother Vineyard one time, and he was preaching, and he said, Jack Hiles used to say, be nice to everybody, because everybody's having a hard time. I was listening to Jack Hiles on a tape one time, and he said, hey, Spurgeon said, be nice to everybody, because everybody's having a hard time. You understand what I'm saying? I'm saying I'm going to steal something, and it's Jesus' thought here. When you look, he's telling us what true value is. Because we got our eyes clouded by money and possessions. Jesus gave over 2,000 verses in the Bible warning us about money and possessions. 15% of what he talked about was about money and possessions. Twice as much as he spoke about heaven and hell combined, he warned us about money and possessions. Jesus gave 36 parables. Half of them were warning us about what? Try it with me. I know it's a Wednesday night. Try it with me. Money and what? Possessions. You can look at the attitude. God doesn't need our money, but he sure does want our heart. Take your Bibles quickly. Let's look at a couple attitudes about money and possessions. We're in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Genesis, Exodus, Acts chapter 2. 3,000 people have just gotten saved, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayers. Verse 44, and all that believed were together and had all things common. You know what the church is? The church is a family. I mean, it's full of brethren, it's full of sisterins. We are together. Verse 46, and they continued, how often? Daily. They weren't the Sunday morning COVID Christian. They continued daily. But what brought them together? Look at this close in verse 45. They sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Wow. When was the last time you saw someone sell their car to help someone else? Hold it. Their family. I'm closer to my church family than my blood family. God said, this is valuable. He saw the church so valuable, the Bible says he died for the church. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Run in your Bibles to the book of Mark. Look at Mark really quickly. You stay with me for a couple minutes. I'll build a little foundation, and then we'll spend the rest of the time mashing up the foundation, okay? Look at Mark. Mark chapter 12. Look about people that struggled with the idea of money and materialism. One of that rich young ruler who came to Jesus, and he said, Master, I want eternal life. And Jesus said, keep the commandments. Why do you say that? Because he's trying to deal with the sin. You failed. You're fallen. You need the grace of God. And he said, I've kept those. Obviously, he forgot about thou shalt not lie. And Jesus said, oh, let me give you a little test. He said, go sell what you have and give to the poor. And the man went away sorrowful because he had great riches. He had the worship of mammon in his life. And he could not give up what he had. The problem was much deeper. It was a heart problem. It matters to God. Look what took place here in Mark chapter number 12, verse 41. And Jesus sat over against the treasury, and he beheld, he watched. Can you imagine Jesus watching what you're giving? I love to get around spiritual people, and they say, well, you know what? The Bible says not to let my right hand know what my left hand giveth. And I started thinking, if my right hand was giving what your right hand is giving, I wouldn't tell my left hand either. And he beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. Notice, and many that were rich cast in how much? Plenty. People would clap and cheer and slap them on the back. But notice, there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which made a farthing, literal pennies. And he called unto his disciples and said unto them, class in session. Pay attention. It's time for us to learn. Verily I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which cast into their treasury. And here's the reason, verse 44. For they did cast in of their abundance, but she... For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Hang on. What would you be willing to sell everything to get? She gave it all. Remember the story of that multimillionaire who used to go and hear preaching at YMCA, and many years later he came back to give his testimony, and he said, ladies and gentlemen, he said, years ago I was sitting here in this building, and a missionary came and spoke, and they took him an offering, and he said, I had $1 to my name. I gave all that I had. And today God has blessed me, and I'm a multimillionaire, and God's hand has been upon my life because I gave all. He sat down, people clapped and cheered, and there he was sitting in the front row, an old lady saluted over next to him, and she said, sir, I dare you to do it again. Jesus said, this lady gave it all. You know what God wants? God wants all of you. When God says, give yourself first, listen closely. He never asks for a small sacrifice. God's not asking for a little bit of your time. He's asking for your whole life. That's how my God works. God's not looking for just a partnership. He wants ownership. So take your Bibles. You go to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Jesus is dealing with a family problem. It says in verse 13, and one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he may divide the inheritance with me. There's obviously a fight going on after someone passed away. And verse 14, he said unto him, Man, who made me judge or divider over you? And he said unto him, notice, take heed, watch out, beware of covetousness. We're in a dangerous territory when someone comes covetous. And here's the reason. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. Why would he say that? Because Jesus saw the RV with a bumper sticker that said, the man who dies with the most toys wins. This is not what life's about. And he says, oh, P.S., let me tell you a story, okay? And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. Does anybody here farm? Any farmers here? Anybody ever farmed? Anybody ever tried to farm? Anybody ever seen a farm? When the ground brings forth plentifully, that blessing came from where? God. So let's put this in biblical context. It says, a ground of a certain rich man brought forth blessings. Those blessings came from God. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow all my blessings. And he said, Shazam. It's in the Greek. This will I do. I'll pull down my barns and build greater. And there will bestow all my fruits and all my blessings. And I'll say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, buy an RV, travel the lower 48. You understand what he's trying to say? I'm old, I'm retired, I have gray hair, I'm bald, I'm chilling like a villain, I'm good, I'm not worried about a thing. Let me tell you what God thought of his idea. But God said unto him, and he called him by his name, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then, you understand? Then, ladies and gentlemen, for every one of us, there's going to be a then. According to recent research, 10 out of 10 people will die. We need to pace ourselves here. You see what he says? Thou fool. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? Now he makes it personal to those who are listening. And he says, so is he. That could be us, the Faith Baptist Church. That could be us at Bible Baptist Church. That could be us at Charity Baptist Church. That could be anybody here. He says, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward who? God. He's trying to remind us our life is not about what we have. That's what it's all about. You look and examine it, just a couple of the attitudes and given, and you realize, hang on, we got a problem. God's not after an amount, but he is after your attitude. How do you buy that field? Can I give you just a thought or two? I see what time it is. And it's 7:48. I promise you I'll be done by 7:48 right now. I promise you I'll be done. Well, I'll be done as soon as I'm through. So stay with me, okay? Stay with me. I noticed a couple of you guys nodding your head in agreement, but you went down 5 minutes ago. I need you to come back with us. Go to Matthew chapter 6, if you would. I'm going to plagiarize again. You want to buy a field? First of all, you got to know a good deal. I don't know how you are, but I don't believe in buying retail. Full price should be illegal for a Christian. I don't understand that. I go into a store and I find a clearance section. That's where life began. I mean, we grew up poor. My dad's a missionary. We were still poor. We had to look up to see the poverty level. We know what it's like. And you go shopping for clothes. When it hits 60%, God's will begins, or 70, or 8, these were all 80% clothes. When it hits 80%, that's where God's will starts becoming part of life. Do you know what I'm talking about? People who go pay full price, that makes no sense at all. I believe in getting a good deal. And I remember one time I went to a garage sale. And I know that's probably a sin, but I didn't touch the garbage. Because a lot of people go garage sale and buy stuff because it's 10 cents. They bring it back and they put it in their garage. So they're ready for their own garage sale in the spring. They've never parked their car in the garage, but they're proud of the deal they got for 10 cents. And I went to this garage sale, and there was nothing I wanted, but there was a boat sitting there. And I asked the man, I said, is the boat for sale? You're just throwing stuff out there and hoping something would stick. And he goes, no, I don't think so. And his wife said, yes, it is. And like a small child trying to defy his parents, I said, I said, how much you want for that? He said, well, $1,500, $1,600. I reached in my pocket and I pulled out. I said, well, I got $800 with me. He said, no, I can't do that. She goes, well, take it. I'm telling you, I backed my truck up, and that's a good deal. You say, why? Because I waxed it, and I sold it for $3,500. That's what I'm talking about. It's a good deal. I was driving down the road, and I saw this Chevy truck, for sale sign in the back. Now, in Texas, there's a lot of Hispanics, and they drive Chevys. And I said, how much is it? $1,100. I bought that sucker. Changed the oil, waxed it, and sold it for $3,500. Do you know what I'm talking about? I'm looking for good. He said, I don't like a Chevy. I don't blame you. I grew up in Alaska. It's Ford country. On a quiet night, you can hear a Chevy rust. In fact, the new Chevys, they put hand warmers in the tailgates. When they break down, you push them down the road, they keep your hands warm. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say I like a good deal. Jesus is talking about a good deal here. You find it? Look at chapter 6, verse number 19. He says, lay not up yourselves treasure upon earth. Why? Here he says, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. And then he says, but is a conjunction. A conjunction is like a bridge. On one side, there's one story, cross the bridge. Now he says, but lay up for yourselves. Who is this for? It sounds covetous. It sounds like it's almost greedy. But he says, when you lay up treasure up in heaven, it's for you. Now, I didn't say that. He did. Okay? But he says, lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. Why? Where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. He's simply saying, what you put up there, you will save. What you put down here, you'll lose. It's kind of like the Civil War. The South used Confederate money. And there's nothing wrong with that. As long as you know when the war done, money done. Here's what the psalmist said in Psalms 49, verse 16. Be not thou afraid when one is made rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. Here's what he says in Proverbs 23, verse 5. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. See, everything you have down here will be lost. My goal is to die broke. I don't believe in saving money. But I believe in investing money. You put it in a bank, you lose it. Every year. He said there's two options. You can put it up there. You can put it down here. He says, now he's not saying don't have it down here. He's just saying whatever you have, you're going to lose. If the rapture takes place, it's all lost. If you die tomorrow, it's all lost. He's saying whatever you have down here, he says moth and rust will corrupt it, or thieves will break in and steal it, or they'll get elected. Either way, you're going to lose it. You ever stop and think, well, how come someone loves to give and get their treasure up there and someone hates to give? They're mingy and stingy and selfish. Well, what's the difference? You ever stop and think about it? Why does one person want to be generous and one person wants to be stingy? Now, I've been in church for 47 years. One thing that I was taught by my pastor was, if you ever want to kill a service, talk about money. Talk about soul winning. He said people get nervous. They like, you know, curl up in the fetal position and stuff. What's your name? Let me confess. The older I've gotten, I've developed a shaking problem. And sometimes when I shake, oh goodness, it gets really bad. Oh, did I get some on you? It happened again. Now, Timmy, you were right here. Why did that come out? Sir, you were here. Why did that happen? Help me out, sir. Help these two. I shook the bottle. Sir, can you explain to him why that came out? Gravity. Gravity? You were watching. You're from New York. Why did that come out?
Because you took the top off the bottle.
Church, it came out because it was in there. Isn't that obvious? And you say, what is the difference between someone who invests in eternal things and someone who invests in earthly things? What's the difference? You say, well, who am I? You ever look in the mirror and don't like what you see? You don't like where your life is? Talk to the guy who put you there. Because God lets you make your choices, but then your choices will make you. So what's the difference? The difference is your heart. You know, read the next verse. You see the next verse? Now Jesus is speaking here, so understand who's in charge. Verse number 21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You say, why did that come out? Because it was in there. Whatever's in your heart is going to come out. It's like the old people used to say, what's in the well will come up in the bucket. You ever see someone just trip off? And you say, man, I had no idea they were talking that. And thinking they just tripped. Hang on, they didn't just trip. It was already there. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And that's the reality. You say, why does someone want to give? Because it's in their heart to give. Why does someone want to be selfish? Because it's in their heart to be selfish. For God so loved the world that He... It's a very attribute of love when someone is giving. It's an extension of their love. I'll confess, I love to preach on giving for three reasons. Number one, I love to give. Man, it's one of the most exciting things in the world. I've got goals to give a certain amount before I die. Man, I'm excited about giving. Every year, my giving's gone up. When I was a youth pastor, my wife and I were supporting 20 missionaries. God let us start several businesses, and I remember one business, everything we made on Mondays was missions. Whatever came in on Monday. And from that, we supported 20 and then 25 missionaries. And you know, then I became a missionary. I'm like, I'm good now. Pressure done. You ever been slapped by the Holy Spirit? Because when He gives you a lash, He leaves a mark. And I remember getting lashed from the Holy Spirit. I said, okay, and I kept on giving. I didn't back away. And that was 20-some years ago. You know, it's gone up every year. Every year. I love. I remember last year, I committed an amount that I thought was stepping out on faith. I can't imagine the sense of humor God has when we think we step out on faith. And we committed over 30 years ago not to give more than anything that we're giving to God. To a house, to a car, to nothing. And I remember stepping out with this commitment. My phone rang within 7 days. And they said, we're selling this property. I said, how much? And they told me, I said, I'll take it. And I tripled it. Paid off my mission 7 days. Not me. Because God will give through you what He's not trying to give to you. I love to preach on giving. The second reason I love to preach on giving is other people who love to give love to hear it. Right? They get excited. They smile. And if you smile, it will improve your face value. The third reason I love to preach on giving is people who don't love to give, I love to watch them squirm. Sorry. What were we preaching on? We're preaching on a good deal. Can I tell you what? There's no better deal than investing in the kingdom of God. But there's always a struggle and a pull and tug in our life. Hang on, where are we going to invest? What are we going to invest in? How is it going to happen? And He's dealing with this in chapter number 6 and in verse 19 all the way to the end of the chapter. He's reminding people, listen, right here, you've got to decide who's in charge. It is an entire goal is for us to put Him first place in our life. Look what He says, verse 24. No man can serve two masters. Why? For either you'll hate the one and love the other, or else you'll hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and man. Now, Jesus said that. What's your name? Ray, are you busy? Can you come here for a second? This is the whole front row. Man, I'll tell you what, Ray. Now, I don't want you to hit your head. But here's what I need you to do. I need you to just jump up. Can you jump up for me? That's not bad. That's not a bad jump. No, just once. Okay, now let's do it one more time. I need you to jump just a little bit higher. Can you do that? That's pretty good. Pretty good. Now, one more time. Here's what I need you to focus on this. I need you to jump as high as you can. Okay? Isn't he doing good? Yeah. Give him a finger clap. Good job, Ray. Now, Ray, I want you to jump as high as you can. Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
Very good. I want you to jump as high as you can and stay up there. Okay? Go ahead.
I tried.
He tried, didn't he? Matter of fact, I have no doubt he did his best. But it doesn't matter if you're close match. Smile on your face. You have an IQ and an I will. It really doesn't matter. See why? Because he's not going to be exception to the law of what? Gravity. You can have your PhD. You can be a multimillionaire. You're not going to be exception to the law of gravity. Thank you. He said, it doesn't matter who you are tonight. You can be in church your entire life. You can memorize the New Testament backward and forward and sideways. But you're never going to be exception to God's law. And God's law in verse number 24 says, no man can serve two masters. He'll love one and hate the other, hold the one and despise the other. You can't do it both. And now, let me ask you a personal question tonight. How many of you here tonight would be honest and say, at some time in my life, I've tried to serve God and man? Would you raise your hand? Now, just honest people, raise your hand. If you're not honest, don't have to raise your hand. You tried to serve God and man. Just raise your hand up high. Very good. Thank you for your honesty. Thank you for your honesty. Now, let me ask you another question. How many of you succeeded? So, why do we keep trying? The whole portion of Scripture is reminding us we've got to make sure our heart is in the right place. Instead of being duplicitous, we've got to have one mindset. He tells me in verse 32, you're thinking like lost people. He said, you think like a Gentile thinks. When you're after small stuff like food and clothing and housing, listen, he says, let me tell you a good deal. Verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He says, you seek my kingdom, you seek my righteousness, and here's what he says, I got a deal for you, and all these things shall be added unto you. God says, you seek my kingdom and my righteousness, I'll assume responsibility over your life, and I'll take care of the needs of your life. My friend, that's a good deal. You want to find that treasure that's worth everything, found in the kingdom of heaven? I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, you put God first in your life, and you're going to get a good deal. There was a lady in Tyler, Texas. She went to her pastor, John Rowland. She said, Brother Rowland, she said, my son is in Center, Texas, and he's lost. He's away from God. He's living a sinful life. Would you go and do a meeting in Center, Texas? And can we try and reach my son? And she started praying for that meeting and praying for that meeting and praying for that meeting. John Rowlands went to Center, Texas and preached for 2 weeks. 160 people got saved. They started Central Baptist Church, is now pastored by Danny Dodson. In that meeting, there was a man who got saved by the name of Bob. Some people called him Bobby. And Bobby got saved, and he joined the military, traveled the world, and I think he was in the Navy. He was in the Philippines. He got a burden for Filipinos. Long story short, he came back to America, went to Bible college, and he answered the call and became a missionary in the Philippines. He went to a city called Cebu. He began to reach people. He said in his message, I sat where they sat. He said, I preach on average 36 times. From that, he saw Dr. Jasov get saved. And in his 40s, Bob Hughes got cancer. He came back to America knowing that he was not going to make it. And just before he died, they asked him to come to pastor school, and he went to pastor school and he preached that message. There was a man who was driving him around that week. His name was Rick Martin. Rick Martin was a student at school, and he asked Rick Martin one day as they're driving the road. He said, "Rick," he said, "what does God want you to do with your life?" He says, "Well, I'm willing to do anything God wants me to do." He took a 3x5 card and wrote, "The Philippines would be a great place for a man like you." Slid it over his shoulder. Rick Martin that night went forward and turned to be a missionary in the Philippines. Now listen. Bob Hughes ministry, Bible Baptist Church in Cebu, through him and Dr. Jasalva, hundreds of churches have been started. Rick Martin went to Iloilo. Hundreds of churches have been started. You say, where did it start? It started with one lady in Tyler, Texas. It said, "Hey, let's pray." You know where it starts? It starts with someone who said, "I'll be the difference maker." It starts with a Sunday school teacher who witnessed to their students. It starts with a soul winner who witnessed to his neighborhood. It'll start with someone who says, "Hey, let's make a difference." And you, like a rock thrown in a pond, can start a ripple that can go on for eternity. You're living your life for something that's going to outlast your life. Here's what I'm trying to say. That's a good deal. I could tell you story after story of people who've gotten saved. I started thinking the other day, and I was thinking about all my ambition. About time at election time, because my wife has told me, she's threatened me. She said, "If you go into politics, I'm leaving you." And I said, "I don't go into politics, or I got backslidden." Because just the name, Pauli, means many, and ticks are small biting insects. And I started thinking, you know, all that mindset I had as a young person before I got saved, and all that ambition I had. And then I started thinking about the people who got saved after I started obeying God. In hundreds in Texas, and then in the last 6 years, we've had the privilege of speaking in over 60 countries. And on a weekly basis, people get saved. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And can I tell you what? When I start weighing it, it's a good deal. It's not even an attractive thing to look back and say, "Hey, I want to serve man." I'm saying this is the best deal in the world. You don't understand. I would pay money to preach. I'd go into debt to serve God because it's a good deal. Let's look and see quickly what Paul said. You find yourself in Philippians? Philippians. The book of Philippians. Half of my country in Trinidad is Indian. When the Indians came to Trinidad, they came as indentured slaves. In India, there was four levels to the caste system. And the Indians that came to Trinidad were at the very bottom level. We cannot understand. The caste system was wicked. It was based on the belief of karma. Karma is straight from the pit of hell. They believe that you're going to be reincarnated and come back like whatever you deserve because of your life now. One of the threats they'll make in India is if you don't behave yourself, you come back as a woman. Because women have no value in India. Their entire identity is attached to their spouse. That's why many women, when their husband would die and they're burning his body, they would climb on the burning body and die with their husband. That's the belief of reincarnation and karma. That's pantheism at its finest. So when someone is dirt poor, now understand there's 8 million homeless people in Mumbai alone, 2 million children. And you sit there and try and explain to them, "Why don't we help these kids? Why don't we start an orphanage?" They look at you and say, "You don't understand. That's their karma. They deserve that." Praise God for the Lord Jesus Christ who gave us grace. We're able to receive something we don't deserve. And when people come from that level, the caste system, I mean, they had low menial jobs. A man may work cleaning out the sewer. People who did that kind of labor lasted a year and a half to 2 years because it was such a dangerous job. A woman, there was times where you could see in the field many years ago, women would walk behind the cows and the cow would go to the bathroom. They would pick up that and they would pat it and put it into a brick. Put the brick and stack it and dry it, and they would sell that to burn in the fires to cook roti over. And in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, they're walking behind cows, waiting for cows to do business. They pick up the cow business as teenagers, as married women, as a mother with children, There's times and pictures where you see a field of cows and multitude of ladies out there waiting for the cow because they're picking it up. I know we look back and go, how can someone do that with their life? That's their career? Before you point your finger too far, have you ever heard of the rat race? Have you ever seen people give their life to something that completely wasted their life? There in Cebu, Dr. Jasalva got up, 83-year-old man, and his fingers curled around like Lee Robertson's used to, and he pounded on the pulpit, and he said, ladies and gentlemen, he's giving announcements. He said, ladies and gentlemen, listen. Ladies and gentlemen, there's thousands of things you can do with your life, but only the things done for God count. Everything else, and he was shaking his head, everything else counts for zero. It's a good deal serving God. Here's Paul's perspective. In chapter 3, he talks about his status and his wealth, and he talks about his education. Depending on who you talk to, some people say he had between 8 and 12 doctorates, PhDs. He talks about his confidence in the flesh and the type of Jew he was. Verse 5, he was circumcised the eighth day. Not just properly circumcised, but of the stock of Israel. Not just of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. Not just of the tribe of Benjamin, but a Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law, he was a Pharisee, memorizing the first 5 books of the Bible. Spending 20 years in education. Concerning zeal, look what he said. I gave my life to correcting people, making sure they got their life fixed, persecuting the church. Touching righteous, which is in the law. He said, listen, I was blameless. No one could point their finger at me. But hang on. He says, one day I was walking down that Damascus road. I'd encounter with Jesus Christ. My perspective changed. Verse 7. But what things were gained to me? Those I counted lost for what? I traded all that in for Jesus Christ. That, my friend, is a good deal. Verse 8. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things. But loss. For what? What'd you trade it for? For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Notice, for whom I've suffered the loss of how much? All things. And you count them but what? He says, hold on. When I sit there and weigh before Christ and after Christ, I got a good deal. I tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, the best deal you'll find is investing in the kingdom of God. Father, we love you. We thank you for your grace. We know that we're weak and we're feeble, we're frail. Our hope is not in us, it's in you and you alone. So Holy Spirit, please take control of my life. I pray that you'd touch our hearts and we'd be guilty of exploiting the opportunity of obedience tonight. Bless the invitation we ask in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. We stand to our feet tonight. God spoke to your heart. Would you do me one favor? Would you just simply obey the Holy Spirit of God? God spoke to you. She's already on the piano. You don't have to wait for her to play. Why don't you come and say, let me come down the altar and alter something in my life. You say, I'm not comfortable. Why don't you find yourself on your knees and just pray right there at your chair? God said to do something. All you say is yes, sir. See, victory as a Christian, it's 4 words. Obey the Holy Spirit. It's the best place to be. It's really a good deal.
You heard the message. You'll obey the Lord tonight as He speaks to hearts. It's a good deal to give your life up here for what's up there. It's a good deal. And you heard it tonight from somebody who's not just preached it, but lived it. Almost makes giving sound fun, and it is. It's exciting. Those are real words by the Apostle Paul. That's not just some symbolic speaking. He counted all those things but loss. He sure gained a lot up there. Amen. Amen.